Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Live from the Nasdaq market site overlooking New York City's Times Square, this is Fast Money. I'm Melissa Lee. Tonight's trader lineup, Tim Seymour, Steve Grasso, Mike Coe, and Pete Najarian, co-founder of MarketRebellion.com. Tonight on Fast, Bitcoin breaking out, the cryptocurrency soaring above $60,000. So where is it headed from here? The chart master standing by to break down the next key levels. Plus, our chart of the week. One of our traders has been recommending this stock for a while, but it's down more than 7% since Monday. How are they managing this trade? The name and the strategy straight ahead. And later, we are gearing up for a huge week of earnings. Just take a look at that list. We'll tell you the four names options traders are watching heading into next week. We start off with the straw that may have broken Facebook's back. Shares down another percent today, clocking in their fifth straight week of losses. That's tied for the longest losing streak in the company's history. The stock has been under pressure since that damning Wall Street Journal article detailing the impact Facebook's Instagram has on young girls. It is down 14% since that story was published. This is not just a consequence of broad tech sector weakness. Take a look at the Qs, down just 2% during the same time in the past. Facebook shares may have come away unscathed from everything from Cambridge Analytica to the election to GDPR, but $150 billion wiped off its market cap in just the past month. So we're asking, could things be different this time around? Tim, what do you say?
Well, look, if you think about to June, July 2020, when a lot of the advertiser pullout seemed like another one of those major tests for Facebook, it tested down 7 to 10%, maybe 12%, depending on when you're taking your measurements. And look, stock stormed back for a lot of different reasons, mostly just because it's the only game in town in terms of sheer scale in ad growth. The ad growth, what's going on in e-commerce and digital ad, is nothing short of extraordinary for all the secular reasons we don't need to spend time on. And Facebook, like, is at the front of the line. Again, ad pricing up 43% last quarter. So this is where investors, I think, look past the noise. We've talked all the time. Guy talks about, we all talk about why Facebook has bigger social issues, and potentially at some point it may not be able to kind of fend off ESG or just people walking with their feet. Look, that Instagram article is damning. Facebook saying we're just learning about this, we're concerned, when in fact, arguably, they have this information. For me, I look at the stock, which reports in 2 weeks, trading inside of 20 times forward earnings. So, you know, if you put $16.50 a share where the street is somewhere around there, this is a stock that's, at 18 and a half times forward. Very, very cheap. I think the bounce off the 200 day is something you're actually buying here. And I think it's overdone.
So hold your nose, Pete. Hold your nose and buy. Pete, what do you say? You agree?
I tend to agree 100% with Tim on this. I'll tell you what, Mel, obviously this is not something anybody's proud of exactly what happened here and why the stock is under pressure. But that's happened to Facebook on so many different occasions, and we all know it. And Tim just went through a list of some of those different issues that have happened in the past. 98% of their revenue comes from advertisement. We all know that. Instagram is just this unbelievable growth vehicle underneath the Facebook app, because you got Facebook, you have like Instagram, all these various areas. We talk about these verticals all the time. The important part is this is the growth area of Facebook. This is where they're really getting more and more and more, particularly in the crowd that's underneath 35 years of age. So when you look at this, I still think they're the biggest, the baddest. They've got the scale, as Tim just pointed out, and I agree with him. And when you look at that PE level, where it is right now, Mel, this has been an unbelievable run for this stock for a really long period of time. Obviously, this pullback is fully understood on why and what the pressure is that's on Facebook right now. I am convinced that they will come out and they will give us some great reasons on what they're going to be doing forward, so we won't see this again. Now, is it a little bit late? Absolutely it is. But I think even despite that, I think people will then re-embrace, just like they did just last year, a year ago, during all the issues that they had then. And I think people will embrace it once again because of the scale, because of the strength, and because Facebook is just this behemoth that at a 20 PE, This is cheap. It's way too cheap, and I think people are willing to own it.
I was actually surprised, Grasso, that there weren't any boycotts surrounding the research that Facebook has done in the impact for girls. I mean, brands are so hyper aware of their social sort of influence in society these days that, I was surprised we didn't see any fallout there. Maybe that's a good sign for Facebook in that this is not a boycottable issue and this is just something that you sort of skate by.
Yeah, so I agree with what Tim and Pete said. Specifically, a couple of days ago when Tim talked about, he mentioned that it bounced off a 200-day. It did it almost to the penny. So that's a technical setup is excellent in Facebook. And then when the comment on the 2020 issue that we had as well, I was saying buy that dip. I'm not saying buy this dip now. The problem is I'm conflicted because if the regulators say let's break it up, the stock moves higher. If the regulators say make some fixes, the stock could move higher. But the problem I have is that the way you led it to me, when you start to know about the effects, negative effects it's having on children, that's a world-class problem. That's a generational problem. That's an everybody problem. For me, I can't buy the stock on that. So is it the straw that breaks its back? I don't know. Is it out to lunch? You could see how conflicted I am with this.
It sounds like you think it is. It's because you just outlined a win-win-win situation where Facebook wins no matter what. Together, broken up, stock still goes higher. And yet you are saying that it is because of the impact on young girls that it could change the course of this story. Mike, do you agree with that? Or do you think that Facebook is impervious to all of this?
So, I really think that Steve was kind of hitting on the critical issue, which is not whether or not the story is distasteful, whether the truth of the matter is distasteful, but whether or not it's going to have an impact, a meaningful impact on their business. There are other commercial services out there. There are other businesses out there that have similarly been distasteful. I mean, a lot of people have discussed in the past whether certain magazines and other publications also impacted people's basically how they felt about themselves and whether or not it was truly healthy. That seems to be the dilemma here with Facebook. But, I mean, in its publicly traded history, it has traded at a discount to its current valuation really on only two prior occasions. That was the fourth quarter of 2018 and then, of course, during the pandemic. All three of these guys are right. I mean, the thing, based on its growth and, its position in the marketplace, it would be hard to describe it as anything but cheap. So, you asked a question originally, do you hold your nose and buy it? And of course, if it's distasteful, then that's what you have to do. But I actually think that, the downside is probably fairly limited from here.
I think that's an interesting point that Mike brought up, Tim, in that, there are publications that face the same sort of criticism. It might be, 17 Magazine years and years ago criticized for how they portrayed young women. But the thing is that they control their content. And this is an example where this is a platform business. They don't necessarily control how many photos of young girls, looking thin, looking whatever it is that is influencing how young women look at themselves. They don't have control over that content. It is what it is. It is what is posted on the platform. And so is this maybe a more difficult situation to navigate because of that? They don't have ultimately that control.
Yes, but they are in a position to enact controls. And look, this is some of the smartest people writing code out there. And the fact that they always seem to be a step behind, I'm not buying it. I'm just not buying it. And they always seem to be kind of shrugging their shoulders and saying, we're sorry, what can we do now after major moments in our country's history? And this is a major moment because the good news here is that social media, I guess we're in 3.0, 4.0, I don't know. But we are aware of the deleterious effects on our society and Facebook has to answer to them. Facebook is certainly benefiting all the way. Something else we're not talking about, though, which was something else that may be at least somewhat part of this, is some dent in the growth that we haven't really talked about the iOS 14.5 conversions and the underreporting of about 15%. We're going to be watching that number and the forecast going into the fourth quarter. So, again, a cheap stock, and it's got some room to take some hits. Because it's still growing at 25% on a CAGR for the next 3 years. But don't forget about that issue. That's something else people have been focused on.
Yeah, that is a key issue when it comes to a lot of these platforms, Pete. So how do you view that? Is that sort of a big question mark? I mean, if you can put aside some of the, you know, whatever controversy surrounding the impact on children and young girls, but you take a look at this issue, which is a fundamental issue, which is an actual change that impacts not just Facebook, but a lot of other platforms. How do you view that?
You know, it's really interesting, Mel. I think that Facebook, the interesting part about what they're doing, and they kind of sidestep everything, as Tim mentioned. So I don't think they're going to continue to be able to do that. I think at some point in time that is going to be something that they've got to address. And obviously, we know that there's a lot of different forms of security that they've got to run through, and they have to do a much better job. They know how to do the job. They just don't want to do the job the first time. They always wait for the government to step in. And I think that's one of the issues. But, you know, what are the penalties for that? We've already seen in the past where they've taken capital that they absolutely are going to fire and say, you know what, we're going to fix this problem. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to throw $5 billion at it, and we're going to make this a much better process. I think that's exactly what they're going to continue to do. And I'm not saying it's always the right thing ethically, but financially, they have been obviously having a lot of success. This stock was just at highs back in June. So let's not forget about that. 380 or something like that, I think, was right around the high end before this big pullback. So I think there's a lot of different areas where they've got to make some decisions if they're going to do the right thing or not. But for right now, at least, I think this is a stock that has room to the upside.
I'll ask this question to the tormented one on the panel, and that, of course, would be Stephen Grasso. if you think that this could actually impact Facebook, do you invest away from Facebook? In other words, do you go to where the advertisers might skate to next?
Yeah, I think Google has the best chart in the space. Facebook is very close to beaten up and oversold on an RSI. It's registering at a 33. But I think Google is the natural choice. So whatever Facebook loses with this event with the young kids, Google would probably gain in my mind.
All right. Coming up, the Bitcoin breakout, the cryptocurrency cracking above $60,000, soar new highs ahead. The Chartmaster's here to map out the next move. And later, our chart of the week, one of the traders has been recommending this stock for a while here on Fast, but it's down 7% this week. So what's he doing now? We'll break down the trade. We're live from the Nasdaq Market Site in Times Square. Fast Money's back right after this.
The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX. Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
What does it mean to be rich? Is it having more stories to share or time to give? Is it being able to keep your loved ones close? Or travel somewhere far away? At Edward Jones, we believe the key to being rich is knowing what counts. Your dedicated financial advisor will take a comprehensive approach to your financial strategy to help support what truly matters to you. EdwardJones.com/findyourrich. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Welcome back to Fast Money. We've got a Bitcoin alert. The crypto breaking above $60,000 for the first time since April. The move comes as the SEC appears close to approving the first ever Bitcoin futures ETF. Bitcoin getting a further boost in the last hour after Jack Dorsey tweeted that Square is considering building a crypto mining system. So with Bitcoin sitting at its highest level in 6 months, where is it headed from here? Let's get to the chart master, Carter Worth of Worth Charting, to break it down. Hey, Carter.
How are you? Sort of a very dynamic day in Bitcoin, actually down sharply here just in the last few minutes, having been up sharply. I have simple two charts. Let's look at them. The first, one way to draw the lines. We know that the sell-off that stopped this summer found the trend line that was in effect since the pandemic low, bounced to the penny, And we have moved above the downward sloping or converging lines, call it a wedge, call it a triangle, it doesn't matter. And so that is a breakout above that thing. The second chart is really what to consider. So do we or don't we exceed the prior high? Now, what we know, if you look back there on the lower left, after that 60% sell-off from the pandemic, when we recovered, it took us a while to actually break out, right? So the rule of thumb is, it doesn't matter whether it's Bitcoin or stock XYZ or currency or commodity, when you first approach a former high, before you can exceed it, you contend with it. So after a 64% sell-off in the pandemic low, it took 3 months for Bitcoin to actually move above its pre-COVID level. So here we are now back at the April 14th high. That's 64,870. We got as high as 62 and change, 63 today. And so the presumption is that you back and fill or back away before you actually exceed the high. It is something that happens more often than not.
All right. Carter, thank you. Carter Worth of Worth Charting. We'll see you a little bit later on in the show. Tim, where do you stand on Bitcoin and your other holdings in crypto, actually, Ethereum, et cetera?
Well, Mel, I mean, Mel, do you remember who had the number one pick in the CNBC stock draft? Do you remember who that was?
You mean this past season? I mean, the one that's going on right now?
The one that's going on right now. You're looking at them, all right,
yeah,
in case you forgot.
Okay.
Obviously, it was a highly coveted pick because everybody wanted Bitcoin, even though it had only rallied, it was up, 60% already to that point in the year. And so my point simply is, yes, I did draft it. It was not necessarily in character, but that stock since that point is up 20%. And the pullback that we saw from the first high, while, yes, there were moments and there were some headlines, everything from China to regulatory pressure, you never got the sense that there was an institution out there that owned Bitcoin that wanted to sell it and that people were looking for opportunities to buy on the way back here. So the charts have been technical and they've handled it. The biggest dynamic here is that the regulators are not eschewing. They're actually finding a way to regulate. That's the best thing ever for Bitcoin. And again, the institutional community wants to see this. More talk of Bitcoin ETFs, more talk of the SEC means more moves of Bitcoin going higher. What does it mean for the broader positioning across crypto? Obviously, very, very strong. And it obviously means we're looking for second and third level Bitcoin plays, which I think a lot of people see are certainly as Ethernet at this point.
Are you number one in the draft right now? I mean, are you in first place in the competition?
Well, no, look, Mel, we have to pick two stocks or securities.
Yes,
my other one's not going quite as well.
Okay. All right. Just want a clarification.
Right. Well, we
I'm
hold
not
ourselves
trying to pick on you
here.
Or anything like that or take you down. Yep. Just want a clarification for our audience. The announcement by Jack Dorsey is interesting that Square may get into Bitcoin mining, and I wouldn't think that that would have an impact on some of those Bitcoin mining stocks, Grasso, that have been super levered to Bitcoin.
Yeah, so I just pulled up one on my screen, Marathon Digital. The stock is up 368%, and the chart is not that egregious to the upside. If you're looking to play something that really has the beta and the torque, I know you like that word, torque in the stock chart, I would play Mara, M-A-R-A, because it's priced at $48 and change, and you don't have to worry about a $62,000 coin or a $68,000 coin. If Bitcoin is going up, and I do believe it is, and most of the people on his desk believe it is, especially the man who's number one in the stock picking all stars, I do believe that this thing is going to probably 100,000 eventually, then Mara is going to rip higher aggressively.
I don't think I've ever used the word torque on air. Michael, what do you think of Bitcoin?
No, you have it. You always get mad at me.
Well, I mean, obviously, they've got a couple things going on. I mean, the more credible players adopt it formally, I mean, obviously, Square could be one of those. But the more of that you see, obviously, that's going to be a positive. And of course, we know that the definition of inflation is too much money chasing too few goods. Well, the amount of Bitcoin is limited, seemingly. Fiat currencies are not, so that obviously is a tailwind. And then, of course, there's momentum itself. That would obviously be another reason why you might expect that if it breaks out, it could go substantially higher. And I expect that if it does encountered some resistance, which seems reasonable given what Carter was talking about and just what we know about investor behavior. But if it does break out of those levels, I think the 100,000 number that Steve just talked about is certainly within reach. And not everything, by the way, that is closely tied to it is seeing the same highs. You know, Michael Saylor, obviously a huge Bitcoin bull. MicroStrategy is well off of its all-time highs. You know, having an ETF that is tied to the futures of Bitcoin obviously would be one way for equity market participants to give themselves exposure. Steve talked obviously about another one, but MicroStrategy is another as well.
All right. Up next, we will reveal the chart of the week. The stock is down 7% since Monday. And one of our traders has been recommending this name. He'll tell us how he is navigating this trade. Do not go anywhere. You're watching Fast Money live from the Nasdaq market site in Times Square. Back right after this. Welcome back. If you haven't signed up for the CNBC Investment Club newsletter, you're missing out. Have Jim Cramer delivered right to your inbox. All the information to register is right there on your screen. Well, it's time to reveal our chart of the week. This stock is down 7% since Monday. It's WestRock, the consumer packaging manufacturer. We call your attention to it because this is a name that Grasso has been recommending on the show. So, Grasso, you stick by this one?
Yeah, so not only do I stick by it, I bought more today. So the reason what hit the stock was the container board data hit the market today. But that is backward-looking data, and that was prior to September or up till September. The company on September 13th spoke at a conference for Credit Suisse. They reaffirmed guidance at that conference and said that they were buying back stock. Everything is in the price at $52 back then. It was a $52 trading number. Right off of that conference, the market sold off. This stock sold off with it. And what did it do? It rallied right back to 52. Now this old data hits the market, and I do believe it is old, and the stock sold off. I took this as a gift from the market gods. I believe the stock will be above 50. In very short order, maybe in the next 2 weeks.
It's an interesting thesis in terms of why one would be in it, Pete Najarian. Everybody's shipping things everywhere, but raw material prices are also going higher, and I don't know how much box makers, packaging makers have the ability to raise prices. I don't know. Where do you stand on this?
I don't know either, Mel. I mean, I think that is the issue, is are they able to pass along that price increase that we're seeing? Because we all know what's happened with copper. We all know what's happened with a lot of the material space. It's been extremely strong, continues to get stronger. And I just don't know enough whether or not they can keep up with that kind of pricing that they've got to make. So right now I'd be on the sidelines on this one, but I trust Steve. So if he's grabbing more, I have to relook at this name.
All right. Time for the final trade. Let's go around this horn. Steve, what do you say?
Well, I'd be dumb if I said anything but WestRock, WRK.
Could have said something else. Tim.
I'd like to say Torque, but I'm going to say Disney instead. And I think you have a case here where there's some discussion about an ESPN spinoff. That's not, I don't think, in the cards, but it's certainly not why I'd be buying this name, Disney.
Pete.
I'm going to give you tech resources. I think this entire space, the material space, has a lot more room to the upside.
Mike Coe.
I like BMW. They're also innovating in the electric car space, and we don't talk about them very often, and the stock's well off of its highs and trading at a good, cheap valuation.
All right, Mike's going to stick around. Does it for us here on Fast Money for the week.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.